Welcome back to the Darting Through the Faith podcast. And who am I?
Your Father Sean Wilson.
Oh, that's right. Mm-hmm. And who are you?
I'm Julia Monin.
Oh, great.
Right. It's
now
good to
I
be
got
back.
It. Yeah.
You good? You all right?
I think so.
Okay, we're recording
we'll find out.
In a row. It kind of gets a little dicey when
right.
that happens. So mm-hmm. you're forgiven.
Thanks.
For forgetting your name.
Wow. I appreciate that.
Your Father Sean M. Wilson, the one and only.
I probably.
Are you?
I don't know of any other Father Sean Wilson, but I'm sure there's one out there.
Wilson is a popular name.
It is, but like Wilson is probably more of a Scottish last name and Sean's more of an Irish first name.
Oh.
So I don't know how many are out there. There's probably somewhere on the British Isles where there's somebody who's Sean Wilson, but sure. I don't know if they're a Catholic priest too.
Right.
So
right.
Who knows? I'm sure there's at least been one in the history of the world for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Great.
Yeah.
Fun facts about you and your name.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. What else you know?
Oh, I know everything. You know that.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Enlighten us. What's one thing that you know everything?
Huh?
On.
What?
Just say one thing that you know that's every out of everything you know. I don't know how I worded that question.
Huh? What's one thing? I can tell you one thing I know.
This is also the second podcast for me, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can tell you one thing I know.
Tell me.
Do you know what the capital of Utah is?
Utah?
It's Salt Lake City.
Yeah?
I think.
Somebody sent you a text of a bunch of maps, puzzle maps.
Yeah.
Did those have capitals on them?
No. No, they were like countries. There were
like
multiple
the whole
continents.
Collection.
It was like the whole, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to have
sweet.
To go visit the delis in Cincinnati.
Okay,
yeah,
yes.
that was Brian.
Okay.
So,
whole collection, map
that
puzzles.
That looked like fun.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So I zoomed in on the pictures to see if they were lines of individual countries or if it just kind of the pieces
sure.
grouped countries together.
Right.
Because that changes the difficulty level.
Yeah. And were you pleased?
I think it depended on how big the country was. Mm. You know, some of them were standalone, but others where you had smaller countries together, they
mm-hmm.
were kind of grouped into a single piece.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
looked like fun.
Yeah. I got into one of those said putting puzzles together the fastest contest not too long ago.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, you were involved. So were two other people. And you remember these puzzles? They were like 8-piece puzzles, like wooden puzzles.
Oh, yeah.
Of my son's.
Yeah.
And four of us, four puzzles. Was my son one of the ones putting it together?
He was, I think, yes.
So it was him, me, you, and Father Willig.
Yeah.
And you won. And then my son was a close second. And then Father Willig and I are just patiently, and I don't even know what's happening. I'm like, this is an 8-piece puzzle of a T-Rex. Like, just put them together.
In your defense, they were more than 8 pieces.
Were there more than 8?
Yeah,
12,
it was
maybe?
12 or 16.
Oh, Grace says, oh, well, that makes more sense. Yeah. Of course you couldn't figure it out within 3 minutes. But you guys are done, and then I think you got up and, like, took a walk for a mile or something before Father Willig finished third, of course, and I eventually got mine
you got yours
together.
Son. That's okay.
It's so hard. Puzzles are hard.
Yeah. Would you say they're puzzling?
Oh, yes, they're puzzling, to say the least. Thank you for that.
Yeah.
That was a stretch, but
yeah.
I really liked it.
Well, we should pray, you think?
I think
it's time to rock and roll.
I think we ought to.
All right. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Lord, we give you thanks for your many blessings among us. We ask that you may send forth your Holy Spirit to guide us, to inspire our lives of prayer, and to always draw us closer to you. We entrust this time into your hands. We pray for all of those who need renewed in their prayer life, especially ourselves, that you may renew our prayer lives through your grace and through the example and intercession of your saints. We ask us all through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Guides for Prayer is where we are at this week, paragraphs 2683 to 2691.
Guides both in heaven and on earth.
Yeah.
Basically. So the first part, a cloud of witnesses, the heavenly guides, and then, sorry, kind of got some burps coming up. Can we edit that out? And then servants
nope.
of prayer, ones on earth. So prayer in heaven and on earth. I'm just going to keep going.
Please do. Sorry, I was thinking about two episodes ago when you accidentally said turd or something, and you're like, did I say turd? We didn't edit that out, did we? No,
probably
that went
not.
That went out just yeah. like that. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
These things you just can't help sometimes.
Right.
Sometimes you can.
Right. Right. Okay. So a cloud of witnesses, guides for prayer. Okay. This probably goes without saying, but where are we in the catechism here?
Oh, we're in the prayer section in the catechism. So we're in Article 3 of the prayer section. Mm-hmm. So the prayer section is being the fourth section. And the first half talks about prayer in general. The second half walks us through the Our Father. So we're not in the Our Father portion, but the first half.
The witnesses who have preceded us into the kingdom, especially those whom the church recognizes as saints, share in the living tradition of prayer by the example of their lives, the transmission of their writings, and their prayer today. They contemplate God, praise Him, and constantly care for those whom they have left on earth. When they entered into the joy of their Master, they were put in charge of many things. Their intercession is their most exalted service to God's plan. We can and should ask them to intercede for us and for the whole world.
So the saints teach us how to pray. It says three ways. One, their example, right? Mm-hmm. We watch them pray. Even like we read a biography, we learn how they pray. But then also their teaching. So not every saint leaves teachings about how they pray, but a lot of them do. Mm-hmm. Teachings about the prayer life. And then thirdly, their intercession today. So they pray for us today, right? They're still in heaven. They still have a relationship with the Lord, so they can still pray. Mm-hmm. Just like I would ask you to pray for me, we ask the saints to pray for us because we got a big old family. Ugh. Got a lot of friends. Ugh. Let's just get them all praying.
So many. So many. Mm-hmm. In the communion of saints, many and varied spiritualities have been developed throughout the history of the churches. The personal charism of some witnesses to God's love for men has been handed on, like the spirit of Elijah to Elisha and John the Baptist, so that their followers may have a share in this spirit. A distinct spirituality can also arise at the point of convergence of liturgical and theological currents, bearing witness to the integration of the faith into a particular human environment and its history. The different schools of Christian spirituality share in the living tradition of prayer and are essential guides for the faithful. In their rich diversity, they are refractions of the one pure light of the Holy Spirit. Different schools of Christian spirituality. Oh. Communion of saints, lots of holy men and women that have gone before us, big family interceding for us, often bring the Lord through them, brings a different spirituality, a unique spirituality, unique charisms that help us understand this pure light of God, right? Refractions, little bits and pieces of the light.
Right. It was that refraction just got me all excited because you think about light passing through a prism and then it comes out into different, it's the same light, but then it gets refracted into different parts of that light is highlighted in a, when light passes through a prism, it's like, that's beautiful. The light of the Holy Spirit gets refracted into many varied spiritualities, all had their source in the same light of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm.
And go back to what we talked about last episode of man and woman being created equal and yet different. And it's meant to be complementary and live in this harmony, right, with one another. Same thing with these different spiritualities we get that that the Lord has given to us over the years of you know, our lives or whatever, the tradition of the church. So we have these different spiritualities that are different, not necessarily that one is better than another, but they all are meant to complement one another, to bring us closer to God, to shed light on the true light.
Right.
That is God, the Holy Spirit.
And it highlights this particular ways that people have responded to the gospel, right? Because that's always, the spiritual life is basically how do we live the gospel of Jesus Christ? Mm-hmm. And so that it's taken, and even it talks about, you know, the different environments and histories and the liturgical traditions that all kind of bring about a particular spirituality or could say a particular way of following Jesus, right? Sometimes we want to be all things to all people. We want to follow Jesus in every way possible, but that's not realistic, right? We're all we all live in a particular time and a place, and so there's particular spiritual lives that the saints have lived to respond to their needs, right? So you think about this. St. Francis of Assisi is a great example. So St. Francis of Assisi is alive in the Middle Ages when the church is rather rich. She's powerful. She's influential. And so his response to this is to how has he lived the gospel of Jesus Christ is to become poor, to defend Christ as the poor, not just to serve the poor, but to actually become poor and to marry Lady Poverty. Talking about the, you know, what's Francis do about being celibate? Well, he marries the most beautiful woman, the Lady Poverty. So, you know, right? And even you talk about his own body. You know what St. Francis called his body? Do you know this?
I don't.
He called his body Brother Ass.
Brother Ass.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So it was the old. Yeah. He'd give them all sorts of problems, you know, and he would have all these brothers in the religious life. Yes, and so, yes, brother ass, we must go today.
Yes.
But I'm tired. Mm-hmm. Well, brother ass, we must keep going.
Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Sorry if you're listening with kids.
I don't know where to go from there. How about, can I just keep reading? How about this really great quote that follows that?
Sure.
The Spirit is truly the dwelling of the saints, and the saints are for the Spirit a place where he dwells as in his own home, since they offer themselves as a dwelling place for God and are called his temple. The Spirit is the dwelling of the saints, and the Spirit dwells in them. Oh, that, anyway, that's just beautiful language. Okay, the next few paragraphs then is a section called Servants of Prayer. So again, overall, this is guides for prayer. We were just talking about a cloud of witnesses, how the saints play into this, and now Servants of Prayer. So how do we learn how to pray?
Right.
What does this mean? So the first paragraph in this section, 2685, is the Christian family,
mm-hmm.
the domestic church.
Right. And so the domestic church, we probably talked about this, but basically this idea that everything that the church tries to teach, you first learn and best learn at home. So mm-hmm. the church wants to teach people how to pray. That's actually what the next few paragraphs mm-hmm. will be about. But you first learn this, you best learn this at home.
Mm-hmm. Right. For young children in particular, daily family prayer is the first witness of the church's living memory as awakened patiently by the Holy Spirit.
Right. You know that line that was, I think, I don't know who coined it, but Mother Teresa really popularized it. The family that prays together stays mm-hmm. together.
Sure thing.
Which is true. Mm-hmm. Father Patrick Peyton, who was known as the Rosary Priest, who had all these different Rosary Crusades, tells this story of he grew up in Ireland in this poor family, and they would pray the Rosary every day together. And when he was a teenager, for a summer, he went and lived with his family and worked on their farm. And he tells the story of the first day. He worked in the fields. They came back. They had dinner. And then he said, I waited around for the father to gather the family to lead... break into his Irish accent. I waited for the father to gather the family together to lead the family rosary. And as they waited and everybody's going about their own business, and I realize they're going to bed. Mm-hmm. And I thought, this family, they do everything together. They work together. They eat together. They live together. But they didn't pray together, the most important thing. Probably shouldn't have done the Irish accent, but I just couldn't help myself. Father Patrick Peyton's cause for canonization is open.
Okay.
There's a great documentary about him that's just called Pray.
Oh.
Oh, it's powerful. It'll move you to tears.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Good to know. So other servants of prayer, ordained ministers, religious, the catechesis, a catechism, prayer groups, and then spiritual direction. These are the mm-hmm. following paragraphs that we're getting to. So first, ordained ministers in 2686, being a servant of prayer.
Bishops, priests, deacons.
Also responsible for the formation and prayer of their brothers and sisters. Ordained to lead the people of God to the living waters of prayer.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Interestingly, that they come after the parents.
Mm-hmm.
That's really fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
But it's true, right?
Yep.
Like, parents can teach us so much better than I can
yep.
about how to pray.
Yep. Many religious have consecrated their whole lives to prayer. Hermits, monks, nuns, since the time of the Desert Fathers, have devoted their time to praising God and interceding for his people. The consecrated life cannot be sustained or spread without prayer. It is one of the living sources of contemplation in the spiritual life of the church.
And to think, you know, sometimes when somebody goes to be a monk or a hermit or a cloistered nun, we think, what are they doing, right? There's so much activity. There's so much mm-hmm. that we need to do in the church. And to remember that they are doing the most important thing, mm-hmm. right? To stay by the Lord. Because ultimately, the Holy Spirit is the one that animates the church, not my activity, not your activity.
Right.
And so somebody to stay by and to mm-hmm. implore the church is so important.
So important.
And because of their experience, right, of the depths of prayer, they share that with the world, right? Whether that means in just their prayer, but then, you know, their own reflections, their own teachings on prayer. You think about somebody like Saint Therese of Lisieux, mm-hmm. who when she went to Carmel, to the Carmelite convent, she never left.
Mm-hmm.
And yet she has so much to teach us about the spiritual life, mm-hmm. even though she never left the convent.
Right.
So,
right, for sure.
So the religious will teach us, but they share the fruit of their own prayer,
mm-hmm.
which is the only way to teach people how to pray. Mm-hmm. Not mm-hmm. to give an academic lecture, but to share what we have experienced ourselves.
The purpose of prayer is the birth of good works, Teresa of Avila writes at the end of her Interior Castle, which is a whole, you know, how to pray and how one enters into this interior life and grows in this life of prayer. Birth of good works. This is the purpose.
You know, in our last podcast, so we were talking about male and female, but I can't give birth. How's that work?
I'm moving on. I don't have to respond to that, right? Everyone listening is saying you don't have to respond to that.
Yeah, you don't have to respond to that.
The Catechesis of Children, Young People, and Adults aims at teaching them to meditate on the Word of God in personal prayer, practicing it in liturgical prayer, and internalizing it at all times in order to bear fruit in a new life. Meditate, practice it in liturgical prayer, internalize it so you can live it out.
Right. So that's basically the teaching of prayer. Mm-hmm. Teach people how to meditate on sacred scripture, right? Mm-hmm. Teach people how to enter into liturgical prayer and then how to pray without ceasing, internalizing it at all times in order to bear fruit in new life. So how do we have that constant conversation with the Lord? What does that even look like? Mm-hmm. That's a great, like, I just read that. I was like, oh my gosh, what a great outline.
Yeah. The memorization of basic prayers offers an essential support to the life of prayer, but it's important to help learners savor their meaning.
So that's prayers turning us to prayer, right? So when we internalize the meaning of the words, then we begin to have a dialogue with the Lord rather than just kind of ripping off prayers.
Yeah, I've heard it said, you know, there's a difference between saying prayers and praying, and just to think about that.
Sure. Like
some of us can say prayers all day, every day. But to enter into that relationship with Christ, allow it to really change you, inform you, and shape you, and convict you when changes need to be made. You know, there's a difference there.
Mm-hmm. And even prayers can kind of get the formal prayers, right, that we memorize. Those can get us. Those can kind of get the waters flowing, to speak, right? Because it can focus the mind. It can keep us attentive. And can just kind of give us a good place to get started.
And what about those times in life where like, you know, you can't enter into this really meditative or contemplative prayer? Maybe it's a really challenging time. Maybe it's an emergency situation, or, you know, a death of a loved one or whatever. And like, you're so shaken that you can't do that. Like, our vocal prayers, our rosaries, our chaplets, our fathers, our Hail Marys, our memorares, like all of these, man, we just lean on those at those times, don't we? And the words absolutely are enough at those times, right?
Yeah.
And sometimes we can't even find those, but just to turn our hearts to God at those times. And that's where we really depend on the prayers of others, the prayers of the saints who've gone before us, the prayers of the religious who've given their lives to this life of prayer, to think that even when you're in those moments where, you know, your prayer life isn't what it should be, someone in this body of Christ is praying, is sitting at the heart of the Lord, sitting at the feet of the Lord and praying for you.
One of the kind of most beautiful things is being at people's deathbeds. And sometimes they don't know what they had for breakfast. They don't know anybody in the room. But if you say, Our Father, they will finish the rest of the Our Father. And it's like, wow, the last thing in people's memory is sometimes the prayers they were taught as children. Like, whoa, I hope that's the case for me.
Yeah, for sure. It also in this section, Servants of Prayer is prayer groups, indeed schools of prayer, are today one of the signs and one of the driving forces of renewal of prayer in the church, provided they drink from authentic wellsprings of Christian prayer. Concern for ecclesial communion is a sign of true prayer in the church. Schools of prayer groups.
Right. Right. So, and even it just gives that little kind of like caveat of they have to be drinking from the authentic wellsprings. And prayer groups can kind of go awry, right? Yep. And that's why ecclesial communion is so if we're going outside of the church, then it's like, oh, this isn't authentic prayer because we're going away from Christ's intention of the church.
Yeah, always look to the effects in your prayer life. Like, is my prayer life bearing fruit? Are there effects? Is it growing me closer to Christ? Am I becoming more virtuous? Am I desiring?
Less angry?
Yes. Or am I able to temper that anger a little bit? You know, like, solid effects are what you look to in that life of prayer. The Holy Spirit gives to certain of the faithful the gifts of wisdom, faith, and discernment for the sake of this common good, which is prayer, spiritual direction. Men and women so endowed are true servants of the living tradition of prayer. Yes. Spiritual director, spiritual direction.
Right. It's a great rule in St. Ignatius of Loyola. I think it's rule number 13 that talks about exposing the devil or the works of deceits to a good confessor or another spiritual person. Mm-hmm. So then you can kind of go on to define what that actually looks like. So you don't actually go to everybody to tell them the depths of your prayer life, because as St. John of the Cross says in this kind of quote that comes afterwards, if the spiritual director has no experience of the spiritual life, he will be incapable of leading into it the souls whom God is calling to it, and he will not understand them. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if we try to have that friendship with somebody who has no experience of the prayer life, they might not know what we're talking about, right? So you be a bit choosy about who you do that with. And even, you can get training to be a spiritual director, but if that doesn't have the experience of praying, then what's the point? You know, then it's an academic subject and not a growth in relationship to the Lord amongst disciples.
Take care into whose hands you entrust yourself, entrust your souls.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's a particular, you know, I think, and I don't know, I can just say in our own day and age, I don't know what things were like 40 years ago, of people struggling to find somebody to be their spiritual director, right? Somebody who's able to walk alongside of them. I know just the number of priests have said, it's hard to find somebody to offer them spiritual direction. And I know amongst the laity, everybody's so busy that it's hard to find time for spiritual direction. And a lot of people kind of are, just kind of wishing they had somebody to walk alongside of them. So.
And it's not necessarily a gift that God, that you have to have. You know, you don't have to have a spiritual director to grow in the life of prayer. Right. Although you might have pivotal moments in your life where really you should be seeking counsel if you're discerning something, or, you know, having some experience in prayers that you can't make sense of on your own. Like, there are certain times where you really should seek counsel with a priest or a spiritual director, or in confession or whatever that might be. But to have like ongoing spiritual direction, there's not a lot of great directors out there. And so we have to trust that the Holy Spirit is ultimately our guide in prayer and will guide us. But there is a longing there for people to want to grow in the life of prayer, to want to be able to sit down with somebody one-on-one. It's definitely a need. But like you said, where would this be fulfilled? It doesn't mean we just need a bunch of people enrolling in spiritual director school.
Right.
We need people doing what? Growing in their lives of prayer themselves, like drinking at the fount, right? And really, really growing in their own life of prayer, experiencing this, understanding what this looks like by their own experience. And it's only in that you'll really be able to help a soul or guide a soul.
Right.
Yeah.
And even as we're doing that, there's a particular way for just reading good books about prayer. So because it's not like you're going to find all the answers in books, but it gives this way to kind of describe our prayer life and to normalize it. Like, oh my gosh, that's what's going on, right? And so even having somebody that you can kind of talk for 10 minutes about, and if they know the right book to give you, or say, you know what, this sounds like this might be helpful. And it's like a doctor writing the right prescription, right? A doctor doesn't have to have every disease. Himself contracted every disease to know how to treat it.
Sure.
But he has to know what it's like to be sick, to be able to have care and compassion, and then to prescribe the right thing. So,
And going back to the witness of the saints and the different spiritualities that the Lord gives to us through the lives of the saints. And so being schooled in Carmel myself, this charism of prayer, and our doctors and writer or saints of the Carmelite that really teach us that way of prayer. That's the charism of the Carmelite community itself, is this life of prayer. But but just because that speaks to my soul and that language makes perfect sense to my soul doesn't mean the Ignatian spirituality and the way of prayer is worse or better. Or we know what I'm saying? So, but to know that wisdom is there. That wisdom is there. Anytime John of the Cross makes a quote in this catechism, I'm like, yes, please.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. And then lastly, places favorable for prayer. Okay. The church, the house of God, is the proper place for the liturgical prayer of the parish community. It is also the privileged place for adoration of the real presence of Christ in the Blessed Sacrament. The choice of a favorable place is not a matter of indifference for true prayer.
So the favored place, the perfect place, is in the presence of the Blessed Sacrament, right? And it just makes perfect sense, right? If there's the physical presence, the sacramental presence of our Lord, it's a great place to pray. And then even as it talks about these different places, you know, sometimes it's like, well, you can pray wherever, you know, it doesn't matter. You could just go wherever you want and pray, which is true. But there are some places that experience says are more fruitful. The church and these other ones it lists.
For personal prayer, this can be a quote-unquote prayer corner with the sacred scriptures and icons in order to be there in secret before our Father. In a Christian family, this kind of little oratory fosters prayer in common. I love that, a little oratory in your home.
Right? Mm-hmm. You think of the Shinstop movement, sure. Right? About having the home shrine, of about the place that's in the house where mm-hmm. people gather to pray, right? Mm-hmm. And this is, you know, icons, images mm-hmm. of the Mother Thrice Admirable. Mm-hmm. So just a beautiful mm-hmm. Lived example of that in so many of our parishioners in mm-hmm. their home shrines.
Yep, for sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
In regions where monasteries exist, the vocation of these communities is to further the participation of the faithful in the liturgy of the hours and to provide necessary solitude for more intense personal prayer.
Right. So like even a monastery is a place where people gather, the monks gather to pray. And as we talked about, they're the religious that set aside their lives to pray, but they invite people to gather in prayer, whether it's people who go on retreats to experience a deeper or a more intense time of prayer, or even if it's the faithful that live in the area to come and participate mm-hmm. in the liturgy of the hours. Mm-hmm. It's a beautiful thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
for sure. Pilgrimages evoke our earthly journey toward heaven and are traditionally very special occasions for renewal in prayer. For pilgrims seeking living water, shrines are special places for living the forms of Christian prayer in church.
Go on pilgrimages. It's the summer now, right? Mm-hmm. Now, take a pilgrimage sometime this summer. Even if you're going on vacation, mm-hmm. maybe find a place to go on pilgrimage mm-hmm. on the way mm-hmm. or nearby your destination. Mm-hmm. There's plenty of great places mm-hmm. to go.
Mm-hmm. Oh, for sure. Yeah. My family has gotten in the habit of doing this every fall. And we just stay close, but you know, far enough to drive, but like every fall to just do a pilgrimage to mm-hmm. some area shrines and take a few days to do that as a family. And I wondered if my little guy would really enter into the spirit of a pilgrimage and this wouldn't just be a vacation, but he totally does. Like we go to churches, we go to mass every day, we pray together. This is what we're mm-hmm. here to do. And can do some other things outside sure. of that along the way, but
yeah.
It's a beautiful thing. You know anyone going on a pilgrimage anytime soon?
I do. Yeah. Father Alex Dugas, who was just ordained, he's going on a pilgrimage. Mm-hmm. I think he's leaving about 2 or 3 weeks, about mm-hmm. 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Probably a week from when this is released though. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Should be great for him. I'm really excited
uh-huh,
for him.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. You know anybody that's going with him?
Yeah. Father Jared Cohn's going too. So Father Jared Cohn's a good friend.
Yeah. You meeting anybody over there? Those two?
Yeah, I think the two of them are going to meet. This is ridiculous. I'm going to meet Father Peter Langenkamp. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going too.
Yay. You're yeah. going too. Are you starting to get excited?
Starting. No, I've been excited. You kidding me?
Yeah. This is great.
Mm-hmm.
It's great. Yeah. I thought it was funny that we're going to end this on this pilgrimage thing.
As right.
You were going there. I feel so inclined to say too, since we talked a little bit about the Shunstop movement and the home shrines, like if somebody is wanting more information on that, probably go to shunstotofohio.org would be our...
How do you spell Shunstot?
Shunstot.
It's in the show notes.
It's in the... You can put it in the show notes. But German word for beautiful place, German S-C-H-O-E-N, Shunstot, S-T-A-T-T, Shunstot. Shunstotofohio.org.
I'm going to spell it German for a second. German, Schoenstatt,
oh,
German.
Deutsch, yeah.
No, sorry.
9999, no. Okay, Schoenstattofohio.org. And then you can get contact with local leaders and things like that if you're interested in making your covenant of love. After you've made your covenant of love and you live in that, then the option exists to dedicate a place in your home to prayer, the mm-hmm. home shrine. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Yeah. Or, you know, and that's, of course, a wonderful thing, a beautiful mm-hmm. thing. Mm-hmm. You can set up one too and
oh,
just
yeah,
start
absolutely.
Praying.
Absolutely, yeah. You can.
Yeah.
Have a little oratory. Mm-hmm. A kind of little oratory in your home. I love mm-hmm. that. Yes, do that. We have a place for everything in our home. We have a place to eat. We have a place to sleep. We have a place to recreate and watch television.
Do laundry.
We have a place to do laundry. We have places for everything in our home. Do you have a place for prayer?
Because
if you don't, you should.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right.
Yep. Okay. Well, that'll... wrap that up, huh?
That'll wrap that up, I think. Yeah. The in brief paragraphs were 2692 to 2696. They're all great. You should read them when you have time. Get yourself a catechism.
Get yourself a catechism. Wow.
Where are we going?
To the catechism.
No, didn't I thought you close. Threw that with such like zeal that I'm like, you're going to.
It was very close.
Yeah.
That was not as close. There it is, merit and holiness. 2006 to 2016.
Ooh, okay. Sweet. Merit and holiness.
That's going to be in the third part of the catechism. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Okay, good. We're going to end with Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 through 13. The Lord's Prayer. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard by their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.